Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of audio interviews with leading economists from around the world. My name is Ramesh Vaitalingam, and today's interview is with James Perturba, who is Professor of Economics at MIT and President of the National Bureau of Economic Research. Jim and I met at the American Economic Association's annual meetings in San Francisco in January 2009, where we spoke about tax reform in the United States, focusing particularly on his research on tax expenditures. I began by asking him to explain exactly what they are.
Tax expenditure is the phrase that's used, at least in the U.S., to describe the wide array of deductions that families are allowed to claim under the U.S. income tax schedule for everything from the mortgage interest that they pay to the property taxes they pay on owner-occupied homes to the charitable deductions they make to the Red Cross or other charities to medical expenditures that they incur above the sort of typical level of such outlays. And the consequence of having a wide set of deductions is that the income tax base in the United States is substantially smaller than it would be otherwise. And to raise a given level of revenue, we need to set taxes as tax rates at a higher structural level than we would otherwise. At least in the U.S. at the moment, tax increases are nowhere near the near-term agenda. The clear objective, of course, is going to be near-term stimulus. And although President-elect Obama talked about allowing the 2001 and 2003 tax cuts to expire in significant part, and even about the prospect of a hike of tax rates on the highest income households at some stage, at least in the very near term, those actions are likely to be postponed while we work on trying to help restart the U.S. economy with tax relief of various kinds. But I think the longer-term issue for the U.S. in terms of tax policy will involve a question of structural tax reform and how to think about the design of the income tax. Some recent research that I was involved with on the home mortgage interest deduction in the U.S. and a collection of other researchers under the NBER umbrella, we're looking at a variety of other deductions at the moment, really tried to understand what the economic consequences of some of these tax expenditure provisions are. To what extent do they really change taxpayer behavior? They all were introduced in some way or another with an objective of encouraging some type of activity, whether it be home ownership or charitable giving or providing some relief for households that might have high medical outlays. To what extent do the tax expenditures achieve their initial goals, and to what extent do they actually cut into the revenue take of the current income tax structure? My own work on the mortgage interest deduction, which was done in tandem with Todd Sinai, who's a professor at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania and is also an NBER affiliate, showed was that the current mortgage interest deduction structure, which allows households to claim to deduct their mortgage interest payments from their income tax liability, their measure of taxable income, that has the effect of giving a larger subsidy to a household in a higher marginal income tax bracket than a lower one. So this turns out to be a somewhat regressive subsidy in the sense that if you're a middle-income household with a 15 or 25% marginal tax rate, your savings per dollar of mortgage interest deduction is going to be smaller than if you're a 35% high-income household facing a higher tax bracket. So we encourage, we provide a larger incentive for extra housing consumption for those at the top end of the income distribution relative to the lower levels. At the same time, we end up distorting the total level of housing consumption. The mortgage interest deduction per se is not really the source of the trouble here. Really the problem is that we don't tax the imputed income that people earn on their house. Essentially, when you're a renter, you pay rent to the landlord. The landlord pays tax on the rent that he or she receives from you. And consequently, we tax that component of income in the economy. If you're an owner-occupant, you live in your own house, in some sense you pay rent to yourself. But we never tax that rent transaction. And the consequence is that there is a built-in incentive in the tax system for people to own houses and to rent them to themselves relative to renting them from somebody else. That tax incentive matters in terms of the owner occupancy rate in a country like the United States. It matters in the amount of housing that gets consumed. And what Todd and I found is that the consequence of those provisions is a substantial distortion in the effective cost of purchasing housing, leading us to have a larger housing stock and have probably a higher home ownership rate than we would in the absence of these deductions. Raises, of course, a question for an economist interested in efficiency in the way of we raise revenue. Well, maybe we want to think about changing some of those rules. There are two difficult issues with doing that. One is a perennial question, and the other is one that's particularly apposite at the moment. The perennial problem is that homeowners who already benefit from the mortgage interest deduction would be very concerned about changes in those rules that would have the effect of probably reducing the demand for their homes and reducing their home prices. That problem, the immediate problem, is that this is hardly the moment to be pursuing a policy that would have some adverse effect on home prices, given the 18% decline in U.S. house prices that took place in calendar 2008 and the central role of the housing market decline in setting off much of the global financial crisis that we've seen in the last 18 months. So the challenge, I think, is to figure out a way, both with respect to the mortgage interest or treatment of owner-occupied housing, and with many of the other tax deductions that are currently allowed, to think about a long-term perspective, which is potentially to broaden the income tax base, which is just a code word to limit some of these deductions, but to probably do it in a gradual way that phases them out over time, because that is likely to have less of a near-term dislocation than simply announcing that we're going to change those policies next week. So I don't have a particular suggestion to offer here, but I think the research that is like the work that I've done that suggests there are some efficiency costs of the current provisions, the way to begin thinking about how one might address the underlying tax policy issues here almost surely involves a long-term perspective and putting in place some changes that would gradually take effect as opposed to having large overnight dislocations in the economy.
Do you think that this moment is an opportunity to think about these sort of long-term structural tax reforms?
I think potentially the next couple of years will give us a chance to do that. The U.S. is already on track for the expiration under current law of a number of important tax provisions that were enacted in 2001 and 2003 and will expire in 2010, partly because some of those provisions I think there's likely to be demand to extend, and partly because we've in some sense got the default is that the tax system changes as a result of these pre-enacted expirations. I think that will put some pressure on the political system to think a little bit about tax reform issues, although I think it's going to be on the back burner in 2009, since I think stimulus policy is going to be the first thing that people get going on.
And how do these complications, if you like, of the U.S. tax system, like the tax expenditures, how do they compare with other countries, say in Europe, the U.K.? I know in the U.K., for example, that we no longer have mortgage interest tax relief. That was something that was phased out probably 10, 15 years ago. Is it much more of a cluttered system? Is it much more structural reform that's needed?
The big difference between the U.S. tax structure and that of most of our major industrial counterparts is not so much the structure within the income tax, which does vary a lot from country to country, but it's the greater reliance in the U.S. on the income tax as a revenue source relative to a value-added tax, right? The U.S. does not have a VAT, and as a consequence, the rates at which we collect income tax tend to be somewhat higher, and the share of revenue that we collect from the income tax is higher than in most other developed nations. And that tends to put more pressure on these tax expenditure type provisions because the amount of revenue at stake is larger than it would be if the whole rate structure was lower.
Jim Perturba, thank you very much.